Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're starting our unexpected series. How many of you in this room like getting surprises? Yeah? I struggle with surprises because I always like to know what's coming. But I know there's a lot of people that love surprises. Okay? How many of you like to surprise other people? I like that. That's what I like to do. I like surprising other people. But one of the best things about surprises is that they are unexpected, right? It's like you get to catch people off guard. Like, I never thought of that I would get that. Or, I never thought this would happen. Surprises become unexpected. Now, how many in here are peakers? Like, see, I knew it. The two that raised their hand, I was like, I does not surprise me one bit. Okay? A peaker is this. You have an idea of what a surprise might be, or you have an idea that there might be a surprise. And so you start snooping around, looking for clues as to what that surprise might be, whether it's a gift and you're looking at different places where a gift might be hidden. Or maybe, like, you're looking for hints of emails and things of something that might be taking place. Like, you want to figure it out before the surprise happens, right? But have you ever been let down by your own idea of what a surprise might be? Oh, I see, like, a lot of this, right? Right? It's kind of the reason why I don't really like knowing about surprises or like knowing about things, because my own mind gets ahead of me. If I know that something is exciting coming up, then I'm like, oh, what could it be? And maybe it's this. And a lot of times I imagine something way different in my own mind than what's actually coming. And then there's like this disappointment, like, well, that's not what I expected. Huh, right? Sometimes I've even like rejected the gift or the surprise altogether. Not by saying, I don't want that. But my own response to it is like the disappointment is so tangible that the person is like, oh, you hate it. And I'm like, no, no, I don't hate it. It's just, that's not what I was expecting. Right? Right? So one time when we were living in Springfield, Missouri, and we had an idea that we were going to be stepping into becoming lead pastoring. And although I loved our life in the Springfield area, I loved the area we lived in, I loved the community we lived in, I loved our home, I really missed my family and my connections on the West Coast. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a West Coasterner, moving to the Midwest, you feel a little lost. Like, life is different. And I was a native Oregonian, and life was different in the Midwest. And I was missing the West Coast. And I remember one afternoon, all the kids were napping, Jason was working, and I was just praying, like, you know, God, I know that something more is coming, like you're preparing us to step into something different in ministry, and, you know, I would really love to get back to the West Coast. And all of a sudden, in my mind, popped this picture. Now, I call it a vision because I wasn't sleeping, but it's like a dream is happening in your mind, right? And you're wide awake. And in my mind, I have this vision of me standing on like these mountains looking down into a valley. And right away, I recognized that valley was like in Northern California. It was in like the Redding area. And right away, I just filled in all the blanks. And I said, you're taking us to Redding. That's only 3 hours away from my family. That is so great. You know what? I popped right up from praying and talking to Jesus. I was like, I'll put all those puzzle pieces together for you. Enough said. And man, I told my sister, I'm like, you're not going to believe. I think God's taking us to Reading next. And I told people, like, this is what's happening. I just know it. I know it. Right? Listen, he never said that to me. He never said, Paula, this is where you're going to pastor. He just showed me a picture. And I drew my own conclusions. And so when we actually moved to Washington to begin pastoring a church in Port Angeles, I was a little embarrassed. Like, I told everyone this. I was kind of embarrassed. And I actually kind of decided that what I had seen wasn't even real. That didn't even happen. You must have been mistaken, Paula. Right? This same type of thing happened in the years between 6 and 4 BC. The same type of thing happened. That's the estimated time frame in which Jesus was born, somewhere between 6 and 4 BC. And the Jewish people living at that time had been studying prophecy about when, where the Messiah would be born, when he would be born, what it would look like, what he would do, what the meaning was. And many of them had made up in their own minds exactly what he would look like and what his actions would be like. And they had taken some really strong prophecies from the Old Testament. I'm going to share, I think, 3 of them I have in here for you, okay? They had taken some of these really strong prophecies from the Old Testament and was like, this is what it's going to look like. Let's look at them together right now. The first one is, I guess I should tell you what it is first before, right? The first one is in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. I actually read this earlier today during worship. And it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Doesn't that sound so royal and regal? I mean, a scepter, that's what a king holds in his hand in order to show you, like, yes, you may enter my presence, right? Look at this one from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. It says, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time. Your throne will be secure forever. Well, that sounds pretty royal too, doesn't it? Who sits on a throne? A king, right? Where do kings live? In palaces. Then in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2, the prophet Isaiah said this, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor will come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Man, that sounds like the Messiah is going to show up and just crush anyone that is against his people, doesn't it? And at the time of Jesus' birth, around 6 to 4 BC, the Jewish nation was really being ruled over by Rome. And they felt oppressed. They were paying taxes to Rome. They felt imprisoned, even though they weren't actually captive in that area. They felt imprisoned by the Roman government. And so they were taking some of these, like, regal and royal prophecies, and they had painted this huge picture of what the Messiah was going to look like. This big, royal defender who's going to come up and take up the throne and just crush Rome and set us free, right? And it's really easy. It's easy for us to sit here with the Bible in our hands and be like, you guys are so dumb. There is so much more in the Old Testament that talked about it. That's really easy for us to say because we have the whole story, right? But it's easy for me to take one or two things about what it says a person is and turn that into a false expectation of that person. Even a false understanding of that person. Those three and other Old Testament prophecies cause people to have a false expectation of Jesus because they filled in the blanks with their own understanding, right? But there was also some not so royal prophecies that were to be found in the Old Testament. It's really easy to overlook the things that seem maybe insignificant when you're looking for something really big, right? Like in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says to the king, Isaiah said, "All right, then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That doesn't sound very royal, right? Like, that doesn't even sound possible. That's the whole point. God's saying, like, I'm going to do the impossible. You got to look for it. I'm doing the impossible. Then in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, listen, nobody wants to think about their king in this way. "The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He says, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble." No one wants to think about the king who's coming to save them as the one that they should actually be like, whoa, you have my entire life in your hands. That's a little fearful, isn't it? Right? But the scholars of the Old Testament took all of these prophecies. They studied everything. There's like 100 different places. There's, I don't know the exact number because it all depends on what you look at, what you read. Some people say like there's 68 different Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. Some say there's 250. There's a lot of them. But the scholars of old, like the wise men that actually Daniel started when he was in captivity in Babylon, the wise men took all of these prophecies and put them together. But many people missed who Jesus was because of their own false expectations. Sometimes I miss who Jesus is because of my own false expectations of what he should do, how he should show up. Today, there's only one point to this whole message, and it's this. You ready? Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. This is actually like a tagline for a reality TV game show. If you know it, you know it, okay? But I like the fact that this TV show like builds its whole audience on like you never know what could happen. What you believe to be your reality might not actually be what's going on. So always be ready for something that you might not have expected to show up. That's how I should be living every day of my life. I don't know how God's going to show up today. I need to be ready and be like expectant of his presence every single day. That's exactly what the people who disregarded Jesus did not do. God might show us a glimpse, but he's never going to show us the whole thing at once. Like, back to my picture of Redding, California, right? I was super disappointed that we didn't go to Redding. I was embarrassed that I had told other people. I was even more disappointed when we left Washington, left Port Angeles, and moved back to the Midwest, to St. Louis. And I was like, boy, you sure know how to let a person down, God. That's what I was thinking. Like, man. And not only was I disappointed that we moved back to the Midwest, but we moved to a place where, like, my family experienced some of the most painful years we would ever walk through as a family. By the hands of people. But then I remember, like, I experienced some really extreme and profound healing while we were in Washington, in Port Angeles. In fact, if you come to Soul Care, all the tools that we teach at Soul Care come out of that experience. Getting there. And while I was in St. Louis, and I was in my bathroom one day, and I remember I was like sitting up against the bathtub with my legs up, kind of like crouched in this fetal position. And I was like, God, I don't understand. Do you even care that I'm suffering? All of a sudden, he showed me that picture again. That picture that he had first shown me several years prior, and I had really disregarded it. He showed me that picture again, and I got mad at him. And I said, excuse me, this is obviously wrong. We didn't go to Redding. We're the furthest from Redding that we could possibly be, and I hate it here. I mean, those were the words. He is not afraid of our emotions, everyone. As a matter of fact, he wants us to give him our emotions. He should be the first one we run to with those emotions. And he softly, once I calmed down, he said, Paula, I wasn't showing you where I was taking you. What I was showing you is where your healing was coming from. Let me explain that. Because the healing process that I went through came from steps and a ministry out of a church in Redding, California. What I learned over in Washington came from people who were ministering and building and teaching about using tools and forgiveness and soul wounds and breaking soul ties out of Redding, California. When you come to Soul Care, you learn those same tools over and over and over and over and over again. And he said, I wasn't showing you where I was taking you. What I was showing you is what comes out of here can be trusted because I'm sending it to you. Ooh. Right? God did exactly what he showed me. And if I had just rejected him, rejected his voice, rejected his presence, rejected his calling, I would have stayed completely imprisoned in woundedness and unforgiveness. God works in really unexpected ways. And I will never fully understand him. Neither will you. He works in unexpected ways. But you know what? We can trust him because he knows everything. He knows everything. He is everywhere. And he is powerful over it all. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, this sums up exactly what we need to adopt. And this is what Isaiah says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, Jesus knew, God knew, that we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle fully understanding what he's doing. Because we're not infinite. We walking on this earth are not eternal. We have a finite understanding. And he spoke to the prophet Isaiah and he said, hey, let everyone know that I don't think the same way. I don't think in the same timeline. I don't work in the same realm. And you have to trust me. As we begin this Christmas season, will you join me and look for Jesus in unexpected ways? Will you join me and be like, so present in our everyday? And not look to what I got to get done tomorrow, what I got to get done before Christmas Eve. Something happened this week that I was like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes, even at Hope City, and we've done it at other places where we've pastored, we have a giving declaration before we talk about giving, right? And in this giving declaration, I don't know if you have it back there, Dylan, I should have prompted you. But in this giving declaration, you know, it says, it's partnering with the fact that our words have power, right? And we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And sometimes we just have to step into the fact that God's going to do what he says that he's going to do. And this giving declaration says, you know, as I give today, I'm believing that God's going to show up. And here's some of the ways that he might show up. And it goes through it. It's okay, guys. Don't worry about it. And it goes through it. And it's like sometimes there's checks in the mail. Sometimes there's gifts and surprises. Sometimes our debts get paid off. Sometimes, I don't even know. There's a whole list of different things in this giving declaration. Like sometimes you don't even expect God to show up this way, but he just shows up. And my son in our family chat this week said, guys, like, I just got a $300 check from an account I didn't even know I had. That it was an account at my old job that they tucked away for, he's like, I don't even know what it was, but I just got $300 in the mail. And one of my daughters, she's like, checks in the mail. And then another one said, gifts and surprises. And I was like, that's it. We have to be living in something so that every time something happens, we can declare how God showed up in that situation. This is how God showed up. This is what he's going to do because we are called to live expectantly. We're called to live expectantly because God promises I'm showing up, right? Sometimes God shows up bold and it's obvious. And sometimes it's quiet and simple and can be easily overlooked. So join me in looking for the unexpected ways that he's going to show up, right?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.